So this morning we will read Act 10, which is the last chapter of Lalita Madhava. And perhaps after the reading, Maharaj can share some reflections with us. So this scene is set in the garden in Dwarka. And two young girls enter. One is called Tulsi, and the other one is called Malati. And they're very excited. Tulsi says to Malati, "Have you heard the good news? Has it entered into your ears?" And Malati says, "What news?" Tulsi says, "The relatives of Krishna, the king of Braj, Nanda, Yasoda, and all his family members, along with noble Purnamasi, are on their way to Dwarka." And Malati says, "Oh, this is wonderful. This is such wonderful news. I will go immediately to the Madhavi courtyard where Radha lives and tell her the news." And Tulsi says, "Radha isn't in the Madhavi courtyard." And Malati said, "Then where is she?" And Tulsi said, "Do you remember the day when Radha and Krishna looked at pictures? Well, Queen Rukmini noticed many signs that Radha and Krishna had been meeting together, and so she brought her right into the palace and cruelly teased her." Malati said, "What did she say to tease her?" Tulsi said, "She said, 'I think all of the animals in the forest are very dangerous to you. So I think that they must have broken your jewel necklace and all these other things. So perhaps you should not stay in the forest anymore. It brings me great pain.'" Malati laughed and said, "Let her laugh, but Satyabhama is not. She may appear to be in a subordinate position, but actually she's much more fortunate." And Tulsi said, "You speak the truth. Look," and she pointed to the back of the courtyard and said, "Look at the 1,000 rays of the light coming from his Kostaba jewel, which eclipse the 1,000 rays of the sun. You see Krishna standing in the palace, planning a meeting with Radha." And they say, "Let us go to our garden," and they leave. Meanwhile, Krishna comes in with Madhu Mangal. And Madhu Mangal has a golden rod in his hand. And there's a parrot, the same parrot that caused a little difficulty in the last act, is sitting on the golden rod in Madhu Mangal's hand. Krishna has not heard this news, by the way. So Krishna says, "Although she is deeply in love, now Satyabhama is imprisoned by Queen Rukmini. My beloved cannot dispel the darkness of my heart because now she is like a burning lamp covered by a pot, and thus she is unable to light up the house." Rukmini has decided to keep her right by her side. Madhu Mangal says, "Don't speak so loudly. Queen Rukmini's servants are everywhere." Krishna says to his Kostaba jewel, which is giving such light, there's such light coming from it, he says, "Your shining may alert Rukmini's maidservants to our presence. So for now, do not shine so brightly," he tells the jewel. Then Navavrinda enters, and she says, "My lord, Princess Rukmini has sent me." Krishna says, "What is it?" Navavrinda says, "She has asked me to bring the king of parrots." Krishna says to Madhu Mangal, "Please, my friend, give her the parrot." So he places the golden rod and the beautiful parrot in the hand of Navavrinda, and Navavrinda is holding the parrot while Krishna says, "My beloved Radha is known in this palace as Satyabhama, the daughter of the king of Satyajit. Her limbs are splendid, beautiful, and fragrant. Her cheeks are illuminated by the splendor of her earrings. O Navavrinda, my heart yearns to see her. Navavrinda replies, holding the parrot, My lord, this desire will be very difficult to fulfill. Because of being cheated so many times, Queen Rukmini has become a very careful student in the art of palace intrigue. Professing great love, she has made Satyabhama just like her shadow. Then Madhu Mangal, because the light, when Krishna first appeared, glowing with light, and he asked his Kaustubha jewel to stop shining so brightly, he would be very obvious. Madhu Mangal says, this Kaustubha jewel is so restless that even though you restrain the jewel, he still insists on illuminating the whole palace. And Krishna says, my dear friend, it is not the effulgence of my Kaustubha jewel. Why are you rebuking him? And Navavrinda says, Madhu Mangal, this effulgence is not coming from the Kaustubha jewel. It is coming from Satyabhama's friend Pingala, who is coming here holding the beautiful Shamantaka jewel. So this effulgence is coming from the Shamantaka jewel. So Pingala enters just at that moment holding the jewel. She looks very shyly at Krishna. And she says, My lord, King Satyajit has sent this regal jewel to Princess Satyabhama. Krishna takes the jewel and he places the jewel over his heart and he becomes very happy. He says, Now the touch of the friend of my beloved has given me a way to meet her. Madhu Mangal said, How is that? Krishna said, I will disguise myself as a girl and I will carry this jewel. And walking behind Pingala, I will worship Queen Rukmini. And with her permission, I will spend time giving pleasure to beautiful Radha. Navavrinda says, In truth, it will be very difficult for Rukmini to understand this trick. Krishna says, Navavrinda, it is almost sunset. So you go to the inner rooms of the palace and I will go to a secluded place and disguise myself as a woman. So he leaves. Navavrinda goes inside. She says, accompanied by her attendants and her right side decorated with Satyabhama, Queen Rukmini has now entered the jeweled palace. Chandravali enters with Satyabhama right by her side. She says with a playful smile, Oh Satyabhama, in this palace I have treated you with great friendship and respect. So why have you become unhappy? As a doe, always remembering the happiness of staying in the wild flower gardens of the forest? Radha says with a meaningful laugh, My queen, here I am filled with all happiness. Why should I desire wild flowers? And what she is saying is, Here I am filled with all happiness. Why should I desire Krishna? Navavrinda says, My queen, this is the king of parrots, brings the parrot, that you have heard about and has come from the country of Kamarupa, introduces the parrot. Chandravali is so happy to see the parrot. She said, I'm very pleased. He's a beautiful parrot indeed. And she's looking at the parrot. Navavrinda says, My queen, he is very intelligent and very well behaved also. So Chandravali calls a servant and says, Make the king of parrots happy with pomegranate fruit. So they bring some pomegranate fruit to feed the parrot. The servant says, as the queen orders, and exits with the parrot. Then, followed by Pingala, and Lord Krishna, both as young ladies. Madhu Mangal enters. Madhu Mangal is walking in the front and he says, "My queen, Maharaj Satyajit sends these two girls to present the Shyamantaka jewel to Satyabhama." Chandravali looks at Krishna and she says quietly to herself, "How beautiful she is." And then she says openly, "Who is this dark-complexioned girl whose splendor makes the entranceway seem like it is made of sapphires?" Navavrinda says, "My queen, this is a very fortunate girl. Her name is Ratangi. She is Satyabhama's dear friend." Radha recognizes Krishna and she smiles quietly. Madhavi steps forward and says, "Noble Madhu Mangal, this dark-complexioned girl continues to veil her face, even here, in the women's quarters of the palace. Please ask her why she's so shy." Pingala immediately says, "She's naturally shy." And Navavrinda looks at Rukmini and says, "Although she is very eager to speak, this friend Ratangi is very shy to speak in your presence. Satyabhama is also very eager to speak to her friend Ratangi. So please just send them both to the Golden Palace and there they can talk in private." So Chandravali says, "Satyabhama, please go to the Golden Palace and embrace Ratangi." So Radha smiles and says, "As the queen orders," and accompanied by both Krishna and her own associates, she exits. Chandravali says, "Madhavi, I heard that my sister Radha has a great, brilliant jewel, just like the sun." So every now and again, Chandravali will remember Radha and feel very sad. Then, just as she's just sitting thinking of Radha, a voice from behind the scenes quotes Krishna's speech earlier, where the voice says, "Although she is inflamed with love for me, because she is imprisoned by Rukmini, my beloved cannot dispel the darkness of my heart. She is like a burning lamp covered by a pot and thus unable to light up the house." Chandravali looks and says, "What is that parrot saying?" The parrot continues, it says, "My beloved Radha is known in this palace as Satyabhama, the daughter of King Satyajit. Her limbs are splendid, beautiful and fragrant. Her cheeks are illuminated by the splendor of her earrings. O Navavrinda, my heart yearns to see her." Chandravali becomes very sad. She says, "Aha, I have heard exactly what I need to hear." Then again, from behind the scenes, the clever parrot says, "I will disguise myself as a girl and carry the jewel, walking behind Pingala. I will worship Queen Rukmini, and with her permission, I will spend the night giving pleasure to doe-eyed Radha." Chandravali says, "Madhavi, did you hear that?" And Madhavi says, "Not only heard, I have seen." Chandravali says, "As long as Satyabhama stays in this palace, how can there be any good for me? By some intrigue, I must send her to the palace of the king of Kundina," her father, Rukmini's father. "I must send her." Madhavi says, "The princess has spoken very well." Chandravali said, "This is a great skill in the art of deception. Even though we are not easily deceived, still we are being deceived. Let us go immediately to the Golden Palace." So Krishna and Radha, with their associates, now enter in the Golden Palace. And Krishna says to Radha, "O beautiful one, open your eyes. and give me the nectar of a smile that eclipses the sweetness of the moon. And Radha says, O handsome one, why speak these words? Your love exists only in your mouth. She says, the great dim-dim drum of your love for me that used to fill the entire world with wonder, now that drum has become silent. Krishna says, please don't say that. He says, even if I am attacked by many beautiful girls, how can I find happiness for even a moment without you? I cannot. I am like the sky. Even if the moonlight, Chandravali, and all the stars try to illuminate the sky, it never really becomes bright until it is full of the sunlight. In the same way, it is not possible for me to become bright with happiness without you. Then Navavrinda says to Radha, O girl with the beautiful face, this is not empty flattery. Krishna says, as I gaze at your face, there's nothing that I can compare you to. The lotus flower is not worthy to be placed at your feet. A jeweled mirror is not equal to the nails of your lotus feet. O passionate one, even if hosts of moons, Chandra, Avali, even if hosts of moons, even a host of moons is not qualified to perform arti to your face. The word Chandravali having just been spoken by Krishna in that comment announces the entry of Chandravali. Chandravali and Madhavi enter. Chandravali said, did you hear that, Madhavi? And Madhavi said, yes. So Krishna looks away and he goes, oh, look, look, Queen Rukmini is coming. And everyone stands up very respectfully because Queen Rukmini is coming. Chandravali walks in and she says, ah, Satyabhama, I have come to see the wonderful regal jewel that your father Satyajit sent you. Navavrinda quickly takes the jewel from Ratangi's hands and shows it to Chandravali very quickly. Chandravali says, yes, I have heard that this king of jewels appeared from the churning of the milk ocean. Madam Mangal says, yes, it was like that. Chandravali says, at that time, another wonderful thing also appeared. Navavrinda says, my queen, what was that? Chandravali said, when the demigods forcibly took the pot of nectar from Dhanvantari's hand, my noble husband appeared in the unprecedented form famous by the name of Mohini. Krishna says quietly to himself, Queen Rukmini recognizes me. This is why she is suddenly talking about Rohini. Chandravali says, the name Rohini means enchanting. Her name is very appropriate, for she completely enchanted even Lord Shiva, the king of yogis. So if she enchanted him, then how much can we describe her power to enchant us? Everyone says quietly to themselves, how did Queen Rukmini learn this secret? Chandravali smiles and says, my dear friend Satyabhama, do you think there is any way that we could see this form of Mohini? With angry eyes, Radharani looks at Krishna, and Krishna says to himself, in truth, these words of deception are now useless. So he decides he's not going to try and trick Chandravali this time. So he openly says, my dear queen, in order to test whether you could recognize me or not, I wore this disguise. Chandravali is not very impressed. With artificial respect, she says, Oh, this is my noble husband. And she bows her head very respectfully. Mother Mangal says, my dear friend, by recognizing you, our Queen Rukmini has defeated you. Now, what has become of your pride for being so clever? Madhavi says, noble Madhu Mangal, you have thrown the thunderbolt of Indra at a person already bitten by a poisonous black snake. Chandravali says, foolish Madhavi, why are you so unhappy? This is not a difficulty. This is a very great festive occasion. You should drink the sweet nectar that is the handsomeness of Krishna. Radha says, Alas, now I must taste the suffering of being under the control of Queen Rukmini. Chandravali says, my lord, the foolish desire to see the Shamantaka jewel has brought me here to offend you. I am very unfortunate. Krishna says, my queen, scold me as much as you wish. Your mercy is my only shelter. Then a voice from behind the scenes says, aha, I have heard exactly what I need to hear. Madam Mangal says, the parrot in the servant's hand is reciting these words. Krishna says, that intelligent parrot caused all this trouble. Then the voice of the parrot is heard again. The parrot says, as long as Satyabhama stays in this palace, how can there be any good for me? By some intrigue, I must send her to the palace of the king of Kundina. Radha hears this and deeply and unhappily sighs and says to herself, well done, O parrot, well done, well done. I am indebted to you. Now I will enter the Kaliya Lake, which fulfills even the most difficult desires, and there I will immediately present my body as a sacrificial offering to the snakes. And she turns with Navavrinda and Pingala and she exits. Chandravali then says, my lord, there is one thing I would like to ask. Krishna says, my queen, please order me as you wish. Chandravali says, my lord, by presenting so many obstacles to your enjoyment of pastimes, I have committed so many offenses to you. Please be merciful to me and give me permission to go and live in Vraj, the kingdom of Nanda Maharaj. By staying there, I will make you happy. Now, just as she says this to Krishna, because this is an impossible situation, just as this happens, there's a very excited voice from behind the scenes. And it says, riding in the comfortable seat in the rear of a golden cart, surrounded by friends and relatives, with Yasoda and Purnamasi by his sides, and greedy to see Krishna, King Nanda Maharaj, the king of Braj, now enters the path that leads to the gates of Dwarka city. Now Nanda Maharaj is coming, and all the residents of Vrindavan are coming. And Krishna says, simply by Queen Rukmini's wish, we have now obtained Nanda and all his relatives. Let us go to meet him. And he and Madhu Mangal leave very eagerly. Meanwhile, Chandravali, hearing this, she says, she's very happy to know that they have arrived at such a perfect time in this very difficult situation. And then she sees them, she goes to see them and sees Purnamasi, Yasoda and her friends all going to Rohini's palace. And Chandravali decides to immediately go there and to greet them all. So Yasoda enters the inner rooms of Rohini's palace, and Krishna immediately arrives there before his mother, who is crying like streams of rivers of tears from her eyes. And milk is flowing from her breasts, and she lovingly seats Krishna upon her lap. Chandravali watches as the elderly ladies join Yasoda, and they all smell Krishna's head, and they weep, and they say, "Oh, Krishna," and Yasoda says, "Oh, my dear son, I have been forgotten. I have not seen you for such a long time." And Krishna replies, also weeping, he says, "Mother, please do not speak in this way. I am already feeling very embarrassed, and now you embarrass me more." Then Mukhara says, "Even though we have heard that you are the master of universes, to us you are the cowherd people's hero." Krishna says, "Please bless me that I can again become happy." And Purnamasi says, "After a long time I have become happy because I can see Krishna seated on the lap of his mother." So then Krishna converses lovingly with his mother, asking her about the animals and the birds of Vrindavan. He asks her specifically about some of the animals that he used to take care of. He says, "Are they bringing happiness to you?" She replies, "Why do you say happiness? Say instead pain." And then she tells him about one very small baby orphan deer that he saved, and he used to feed it milk from over-flooding milk pails coming from one Surabi cow called Kapila. She says, "Now that little deer is just full of anxiety and cries all the time in every direction." Then Purnamasi continues to tell Krishna how the peacocks are also missing him so much. Krishna becomes very silent. And then he asks about his friends. "Are they well and happy?" And Purnamasi tells him to go and meet them. They have come with Nanda Maharaj and they are in the Sudama assembly house. And Krishna becomes very excited to meet them again. And he says, "As the noble lady orders," and he leaves. On the way, as he's going to the assembly house, he thinks to himself that Lalita, who has already been discovered, and Padma will certainly come now to see his mother. Now that Krishna has gone, it becomes an opportunity for Chandravali to approach. Purnamasi is the first one to see her, and she is very excited to introduce her to Yasoda, who jumps up immediately and runs to embrace her. She is so happy to see her that she affectionately keeps her arms around her, and Chandravali just begins to cry and cry. And Yasoda says to her, "Child, have you forgotten our home in Gokul?" And she says, "What girl is so wretched that she cannot remember the auspiciousness of the place where you live?" Then Mukhara comes and embraces Chandravali with great affection. But then she remembers Radha, and she begins to cry and cry, calling out, "Oh, Radha, Radha." And Yasoda says, "Please do not mention those two symbols. They open the door to a multitude of painful feelings." And she becomes very sad, and so does Rohini. Then Chandravali calls out, crying loudly, "Oh, Radha, Radha, I have not seen you for so long. I have not seen you even once." And Purnamasi cries and says, "It is only because I am hard-hearted. that I am able to remain alive in her absence. Then Rohini, understanding Chandravali's sadness and unhappiness, she calms them all down. And Yasoda again embraces Chandravali and says, "What can be done?" And just as they're thinking of Radha and feeling very sad, Lalita and Padma come racing to the palace, having heard who has arrived. When Padma turns, they're walking, turns to look to her side, she looks at Lalita, and she says to herself, "This girl resembles Lalita so much." Then Lalita turns to Padma. She looks at her and she says, "Are you Padma?" And then they both recognize each other and they firmly embrace. And then their servant brings them to the door of the palace and they both say, "We have come here to offer respects to the Queen of Braj." When they come in, Rohini and Purnamasi are the first ones to recognize this is Lalita and Padma. And the girls become extremely happy to see them. They are so surprised to see all the other ladies of Braj and Chandravali. And Chandravali is so excited to see both of them. And she embraces Padma, who is the dear friend of Chandravali. And she melts into tears. Then Lalita asks about Satyabhama. She says, "I have heard of the sufferings of Satyabhama. Her sufferings are known to everyone." Now, Purnamasi also knows of the sufferings of Chandravali in dealing with Satyabhama. So she says to Chandravali, "Don't be anxious." She reassures her, "Don't worry." Then Chandravali says to Rohini, "The beautiful sight of Radha, who is more dear to me than my life, does not even for a moment enter the pathway of my eyes. Indeed, the sight of this other girl is my constant companion, and it fills me with unbearable pain." All the ladies are very concerned. Then a young messenger girl comes running into the room in great anxiety and tells them that despite everybody's protests and all attempts to stop her, Satyabhama has just about entered into the snake-infested Kaliya Lake and that Krishna is about to follow her. They all become full of anxiety and they immediately leave to rush to the lake to see what is happening. Meanwhile, Radha has concluded that because I am completely controlled by this woman, Krishna's company cannot bring any happiness. At this moment, the only path I can take leads to death. So she is descending into the water. Navavrinda and Krishna enter. And Krishna immediately plunges into the lake, saying, "Reckless girl, why have you done this act?" And Navavrinda, before he leaves, hands him the king of jewels and ties it to his wrist. Then Krishna goes towards, swimming towards Radha, and Radha sees that none of the snakes will bite her. So she's following the snakes, but the snakes are not interested in biting her. Then Krishna reaches out and he grabs her and he brings her back to the shore and he places the jewel in Radha's hand. Then, accompanied by Navavrinda, Krishna takes Radha to the Madhavi Mandap. Meanwhile, all the ladies from Vraj have been running there and they arrive and they're crying to hear what has happened and how Krishna entered the water and what has happened to Satyabhama. But when they hear that he saved Satyabhama, they're very relieved. Then they see Satyabhama sitting in the Madhavi courtyard and Krishna has left for one moment. So Purnamasi says, Krishna is now absent. Let us now send Satyabhama to Kundina. Satyabhama's maid servant tells her, you know that Rukmini's family are all speaking ill of you. They want to send you away. Radha covers her face and cries and says, I cannot even die. Meanwhile, Mukara says, I will go and get Satyabhama so we can send her to Kundina. So she goes to where Satyabhama is sitting. She looks at her for a few minutes and she comes running back and she's all kind of all over the place. And she says to Purnamasi, there is something I want to tell you, but I'm a little bit afraid to speak. And the old lady in Purnamasi says, what is it? And so Mukara reaches up. She can't speak. She's crying. She's flustered. She doesn't know what to say. So she reaches up and whispers something in Purnamasi's ear. And Purnamasi isn't very impressed. Yasoda asks, what is it? And Mukara comes over and whispers it in her ear. Then she says, Lalita, please, you go. So Lalita decides to go and see Satyabhama. So Lalita comes up to Satyabhama and she asks her, my dear girl, why are you crying? And then Radha removes the edge of the sari which is covering her face. And suddenly she calls out, this is my friend Lalita and affectionate Purnamasi and Mukara. And she falls to the ground in a faint. Lalita embraces her and she too faints in happiness. Purnamasi is weeping and weeping while Yasoda is kissing Radha over and over and over. And suddenly Rukmini says, is this my sister Radha? And Radha offers respect to them all and Chandravali tightly embraces her and cries and cries. Then Krishna enters. And seeing Radha and seeing everyone together, he says to himself, now, after a long time, again I can think of myself as a resident of Gokul. Then Chandravali speaks. She says, noble lady to Purnamasi, please beg my noble husband to accept the hand of my sister Radha. Purnamasi says, my child, of all gentle, kind and sincere girls, you are the best. Please listen. When you place Radha in Krishna's hand, then your pure transcendental fame will be established eternally. At the wedding ceremony of Radha and Krishna, the shower of jewels and the ringing of bells proclaiming the auspiciousness of their love will delight the entire world. Chandravali says, O noble lady, this is my desire also. You and Gokul's queen Yasoda, please arrange that this can be done. So Purnamasi goes to ask Yasoda. Yasoda says to Krishna, my son, Chandravali has something to ask you. Krishna says, mother, tell me, what desire of hers will I not fulfill? Yasoda says, it is something like that. And she whispers to Krishna. She whispers in his ear. And Krishna in return says, oh, my dear queen, looking at Chandravali, this burden is very heavy. I cannot carry it. Please give me another order. Then Chandravali says in the anger of love, in this situation it is good for you to be timid. Then she takes Radha's hand and in front of everyone she says, lotus-eyed Krishna, in front of all of us. Please accept this girl, my sister Radha, and please love her very dearly. And she places Radha's hand in Krishna's. Then Krishna says in a very soft voice, my queen, what person would not yearn to attain your good wishes? Then a voice from behind the scenes announces that the king of the Vindhya Mountains is on his way. Remember that Radha and Chandravali are the daughters of the Vindhya Hills. And then Purnamasi looks and she sees that Balaram's coming. And Balaram is coming with Vasudev and Devaki and all of the Yadavas, they're all coming. And then Navavrinda looks and she sees that Bhadra and Saibhya and the other gopis are coming, Shamala's coming. And then another voice says that since Rukmini has dissolved the restriction placed by her father, Garuda is bringing 16,100 beautiful young girls. And then Yasoda says, ah, from all directions, destiny has suddenly become very friendly. Then Purnamasi points out, look, you see Sridham and Subal on the left and the right? Here Nanda Maharaj is coming. So Nanda Maharaj enters, everyone's coming. And then as he enters, Purnamasi says, Purnamasi, now that my long-cherished desire is fulfilled, I consider my life a complete success. And he embraces Krishna. Then with Purnamasi between them both, the two sisters, Radha and Chandravali, offer their respectful obeisances to Nanda, the king of the cowherd men. And Nanda says with great love, my dear children, you are both devoted to Krishna, and you both consider him more dear than your very own life's breath. May you both be blessed with all good fortune. And Purnamasi notices that many chaste ladies from all over the universe have arrived there. And Navavrinda notices that Indra has just arrived with his wife. And Shiva has just come with his wife. Kuvera is bringing his wife. Yamaraj is bringing his wife. Varuna is bringing his wife. Agni is coming. Vishvakarma is coming. And the sun god Surya are all coming with their wives. Coming all to Dwarka. Then someone behind the scenes says that Kubja is coming with many beautiful cosmetics. And the florist Sudama is coming with beautiful garlands for Krishna. And all of these personalities now arriving in Dwarka and making it very splendid and glorious. And Lalita says, Vishakha, by seeing the reunion of the divine couple, your life is now all successful and all perfect. Purnamasi says, O son of Yasoda, we have all the ingredients here now before us for the Abhishek ceremony. And now look, the wedding arena is being decorated. So now please decorate that wedding arena with Radha and then with each of the other girls one by one. Krishna says, he welcomes everybody and then he whispers to Radha. He says, O Radha, queen of my life, please ask a favor of me. What can I do to please you? Radha becomes very, very happy and she says to Krishna, in this forest of Vrindavan, I have found my beautiful, charming and affectionate gopi friends. I have found my sister Chandravali and all her friends. I have obtained Yasoda Devi, the Queen of Braj, as my mother-in-law, and I have also attained your company, which brings me great happiness. What can be more pleasing to me than all these things? And then she asks a benediction. She says, please grant one benediction. to those persons who reside in this profoundly sweet land of Vrindavan, and who for a long time yearn with a steady heart to someday attain you. Please, O Master of Gokul, appear before their eyes as their youthful friend. Then she says, O Lord who places the glistening flute to your handsome mouth, please also grant this benediction. And she says, in the district of Mathura, where the many forests bear the sweet fragrance of places where you enjoy pastimes, and which is auspicious, splendid, and endowed with all kinds of sweetness, please, always enjoy transcendental pastimes with us, the gopis, whose hearts are overcome with love for you. Please, she's saying, in Vrindavan, please always enjoy pastimes with us. Krishna says from his heart, beloved, so be it. Then Radha says, how can it be? She's in Dwarka. How can it be? She's caught him. Please always enjoy in Vrindavan. He says, yes. She says, how can it be? Then Krishna casts a concealed glance to his right, a quick look to his right. And there's a little note I will read. In the preceding verse, Radha asked that Krishna enjoy pastimes with her in Vrindavan. Krishna immediately agreed. In this statement, Radha asked, we are now already in Dwarka, so how can we go to Vrindavan from here? So when Krishna looks to the side, all of a sudden the stage curtain immediately opens, completely opens, and one Ekanamsa, who is a form of the goddess Yogamaya, enters very quickly onto the stage with Gargi. And Ekanamsa, or Yogamaya, tells Radha, Radha, do not doubt. At this very moment, you are standing in the beautiful, opulent abode of Vrindavan. Although by the power of time, I have arranged it in a different way. In truth, you will always be able to see. In this truth, you will be able to see yourself directly within your heart. But please understand, you are in Vrindavan, and your Krishna is standing by your side. Gargi says, now the words I heard from my father's mouth have borne fruit. Then Radha, seeing that she's actually in Vrindavan, becomes overwhelmed with emotion. And Gargi holds her and says, please compose yourself. And Radha composes herself. And then she looks at Krishna with very crooked eyes. And Krishna says, beloved, what else can I do to please you? And Radha asks one last benediction from Krishna. She smiles and she says, unseen by outsiders, please let us both decorate this land of Gokul, Vrindavan, in our original transcendental forms. Krishna says, so be it. And then he says, now we will arrange that your sister Chandravali's request will not have been spoken in vain. And so they all together all leave the stage. Now there's a little epilogue, and then we will hear some esoteric understandings from Satchinandan Maharaj. In this play, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the hero, says our Srila Rupa Goswami. More handsome than Cupid, his transcendental pastimes make him the most charming and playful person, Lalita Madhava. This Lalita Madhava play, says Srila Rupa Goswami, is filled with the 64 arts and puns, with various literary ornaments, and with musical poetry. Those who are very learned and intelligent will worship this Lalita Madhava. In the Sakha year 1459, in the month of Sukra, which is May, June, on Sunday, the 14th day of the moon, after offering my obeisances to Lord Krishna, I have completed this book in the forest of Badravan. And Srila Rupa Goswami says, standing on the shore, in all directions, I have freely sprinkled the nectar water of the stream of transcendental mellows. I pray that the exalted devotees will forgive me. And Srila Rupa Goswami thus ends this beautiful play, Sri Lalita Madhava. So Sachinandan Maharaj asked me if I would speak some words at the end, and I spent last night trying to understand something about this extraordinary play. He gave me a hint, and I thought that he should speak instead.
You speak so well, Maharaj.
Oh, Maharaj. It's only because I'm reading. Sachinandan Swami shared with me a very important point in regards to this play. He asked me to explain a little bit to the devotees so they had some insight, because it's a very mysterious pastime. So he referred back to the instruction that Srila Rupa Goswami received from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he wanted to write one play. And first he had a dream from Satyabhama, in Satyabhamapur, when he was traveling to Jagannath Puri, and Satyabhama asked him to please write a play about me. And she said, in Kaviraj Goswami says in the Chaitamrita, that Satyabhama said, by my mercy, it will be extraordinarily beautiful. So then Rupa Goswami understood, ah, I should not take the Krishna in Dwarka and Krishna in Vrindavan, they're two different Krishnas, so I should not make the same them in the same play. I should make one play about Vrindavan and one play about Dwarka. But Lord Chaitanya gave him another instruction, which confirmed the instruction he had received, but it was another instruction. Lord Chaitanya told him, do not take Krishna out of Vrindavan. The Krishna in Dwarka is Yadav Kumar. Krishna in Vrindavan never leaves Vrindavan. So Srila Rupa Goswami wrote the Vidagdha Madhava first. I think it was 15 years after that instruction that he completed writing his first play, Vidagdha Madhava. And that play has 7 chapters, and it's Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. And this play was written about 7 years later, he completed it. And it's about, you could say it's about Dwarka. But as we see as we're reading the play, it's not exactly about Dwarka, because we can pick up the Srimad Bhagavatam and we can read about Dwarka, and Dwarka isn't quite like this. So Gagi, if you noted, she was saying earlier that my father's words have borne fruit, because in the beginning, in the first chapter, she was very suspicious, because Purnamasi was explaining everything. Purnamasi is Yoga Maya also, Krishna's spiritual potency who ranges all the pastimes. So Purnamasi was explaining how Radha was born here and these girls came from here and all their origins were outside of Vrindavan. And Gagi was thinking to herself and said, my father told me that the queens of Dwarka and the gopis in Vrindavan are one tattva. Ek tattva means one principle, yet they are different. But now, Purnamasi is explaining to me that they're not different. They're the same. The girls in Dwarka are the same as the gopis. The gopis became the queens. And then she said, at that time, she said, maybe later I can understand the confidential nature of this, what I'm seeing. So this was a point that came to my mind. And Yogamaya, at the end, She revealed to everyone, actually, you're all in Vrindavan. No one has left Vrindavan. No one is in Dwarka. No one is anywhere other than Vrindavan. When Narada was watching in chapter, I think it was chapter 5, he was watching and talking to Uddhava, Purnamasi actually. He explained also the same thing. These queens are one tattva, but they're different. So this seems to be, this is our philosophical understanding, that the queens are in Dwarka and the gopis are in Vrindavan. So how did the gopis get to Vrindavan? By Yogamaya's arrangement, they appear to be in Vrindavan. But Krishna, he never leaves Vrindavan. The gopis never leave Vrindavan. So factually, just like a dream, they're experiencing this particular pastime. But in reality, they did not leave. And why this pastime? Because when Krishna left Vrindavan, which he does do in his pastimes, the gopis cannot remain without him. They have so much mood of separation. So to pacify them, this beautiful pastime is performed. These were some thoughts that came to my mind. And also it was interesting as I was sitting here to note how in the second chapter we heard about the Shamantaka jewel, how in Vrindavan Krishna was sporting and performing pastimes, and the Shankarachuta came to kidnap Radha to take her out of Vrindavan. He was killed and the jewel ended up in her hands. And the jewel played an important part throughout the whole drama, that when the jewel is again in her hands, then everyone will understand. And so at the end of the drama, the jewel is back in Radha's hands, and then the whole mystery of the drama is revealed. So the Shamantaka jewel is a very significant part of this particular play. So these were some thoughts that I had this morning, but I still am very anxious to hear from Satchinandan Maharaj. So please, if we can take the microphone.
Jai Sri Radhe Shyam. Really, I have no spiritual realization, and I have nothing really much to add. All we know is that Krishna always pleases his devotees. Amongst all his qualities, this giving a kind of parental affectionate care for his devotees is called bhakta-vatsalatva, and it is Krishna's foremost quality. Like the king rules over many subjects, this one quality rules over all the other qualities of Lord Krishna. So how could Krishna leave the gopis? How could Krishna leave Shrimati Radharani? How could it be true that he would tolerate that she jumps into the Yamuna and commits suicide, or Lalita breaks her limbs on the rocks of Govardhan by jumping out of separation there? It is only one. It can only be one other aspect, one other curtain which falls in the ever expanding ocean of Brajananda, the bliss of Braj. Many Vaishnava philosophers, as well as poets, have given ample evidence that Krishna is always in Vrindavan. This moving out of Vrindavan to first Mathura and Dwaraka is done by an expansion of Krishna, but the real Krishna will always please his devotees in Vrindavan. So here Rupa Goswami has done the masterwork to somehow bring this together. Krishna staying in Vrindavan and at the same time some pastimes going on in Mathura and later Dvaraka. And it becomes obvious in the last scene when Yogamaya reveals to everyone, you are here, you never left. There are few other items in Krishna's Leela where Krishna arranges that his cowherd boyfriends and the cowherd men of Vrindavan understand that you are here and this is already the spiritual world. This is the perfection. There's nothing beyond it. It's when the cowherd boys asked him, or cowherd men asked him, where will we go after this? And Krishna shows them the same Vrindavan, that you are here, this is already the perfection. I will always be with you and I will always please you. This is the perfection. So it's a very, very wonderful thing. I heard that once Prabhupada said something in connection to thinking we are somewhere else and taking all the reality. Ravindra's taking all the reality of our different experiences to be so absolutely real. Ravindra Swarup quotes in one of his articles how we have just fallen asleep like the cowherd boys who fell asleep when they were brought by Brahma into the caves. And there will be a time when we will just wake up like the cowherd boys who woke up after the sleep in the cave ended, and we realize Krishna is here, Krishna is with us, Radha is here, everything is here. So after the dream of this material existence has ended for us, then we will say again Vrindavan, again Krishna, again all the gopis, and we will also realize it was only a illusory thing that we were going through all this material experience. So I'm very, very grateful to Jagatarini that she has given pleasure to our hearts by reading this so nicely and actually putting her artistic abilities. I mean, Jagatarini Mataji was a actress in a movie which brought me to Krishna consciousness. I saw her in the movie first, in the movie theater, and I thought, this person has something which I want to get. I was sitting in Germany, and she was in Australia, and now she has again captured our heart in a different way by bringing in such an artful way the secrets of Krishna Leela into our attention. We are extremely happy. I have nothing to add to what you have said already. That's a wonderful. Now we wait for next year. Maybe you will do Vidakta Madhava. I mean, you did now Lalita Madhava. That's also now. Now Vidakta Madhava seems to be a natural, a very natural, almost necessary Leela to be explained. Yeah. I would encourage all of you, this reading will be on tape, it will be made on tape, or now it's MP3 recording. I will certainly listen again to it. I must really tell you, the summaries helped me very much to get a grasp of all these things, because when you read it, you sometimes get lost in this, when it goes in this direction, that direction, of what, how did this first, how does it belong, and so on. It's hard work what Jagatarini did. It's not easy. So I thank you very, very much, Jagatarini. My heart is totally satisfied, and I will listen to the tapes. But it seems that Vidakta Madhava is also there. Hare Krishna. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.